If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
She can't do an interview.
Hi, guys.
Oh, no.
Annie's back, and I'm back, and I sound like this, which is the best I've sounded in 48 hours, and the team all decided to do a bullpen start today.
Yeah, we kind of did.
On the starter. And this is one of those games where I'm going to go, like, just a third of an inning.
Are you sure?
There's three runners on base.
Can we alter the rules a little bit? Because I think it's more like there are going to be three pitchers on the mound.
At the same time.
What
could go wrong?
But you got to pick which one you're going to hit.
Yeah. So I've got a little bit of a voice. I do have laryngitis. I spent yesterday in my bedroom the entire day. Like, I went from my bedroom to my bathroom a few times, but other than that, I never left my bedroom so that I could try to muster some kind of voice. Tuesday I did the show, and everything was fine. Went home from the show, started to feel just a little limited. Went to my daughter's basketball game, and just in that hour and a half that I was there, my voice just slowly was like, peace, I'm out.
Started cracking up.
And I don't know why it was happening. So then it completely went away to the point where the next day I couldn't even go, I couldn't clear my throat. Like, whatever was in my throat was stuck or swollen or whatever. I have no sore throat. I have no cough. I do not feel sick. I don't have, like, sinus things going on. Try not to be too graphic. But the only thing I need to be able to do for a living is speak.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, be still. And I was like, but why? I'm not even joking. There have been times in my life where the gift to put a thought, an emotion into words, God gave me that gift. And I've had that even as a young person. You know, I'm not going to say I was like eloquently moving mountains when I was a 12-year-old giving, you know, book report speeches. But relatively speaking to my age grade, I was always willing to be the one who talked, comfortable in front of a crowd, and able to convey through speech. Always been able to do that. And there have been a few times in my life where God did this. All of a sudden, my voice was taken away from me, and my ability to cut straight to the point and often be, in certain circumstances, very biting in what I say, God said, you're not going to do that today. And it was always a gift. Like, I look back on it, it was always a gift. So I kept waiting for some big story to break over the last 48 hours, be like, ooh, God's like, you can't handle this one.
I did not realize this because I had not been praying in the way that you apparently have been.
Did you pray for my laryngitis?
We have all been praying for you. That's not even really a question. Weren't trying to find the bigger meaning, I think, is the problem. And now, but now that you're saying this,
yeah,
it's dawning on me.
Hmm?
He as in the Most High God,
yeah,
wanted us to talk about homelessness on Wednesday. Because I don't think that you would have.
I'm going to be honest. I did not listen Wednesday.
I didn't think so. You were participating yesterday quite
a
bit.
Yes, I was there the whole time yesterday.
The whole show, you were in the chat. It's actually kind of fun. I do enjoy when you're there.
I get to be super snarky the whole
commenting
time.
Commenting as I'm talking about everything.
Unlike normal.
Because you are still in the show, but I can just completely ignore it or bring it in. You know, it doesn't really matter. And I get to drive the ship, and it's kind of fun that way.
Depending on how the show goes, that might be how this one ends.
Yeah.
I'll just be commenting in the chat snarky remarks about you.
Yeah. Well, normally I bring what I'm going to say, and I'm out, and yeah, I let you talk again. Today, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to keep doing things like this.
Take over.
And I'm going to keep talking, and I'm going to narrate the fact that you're looking at the clip sheet right now to find out where we're going with this segment.
You know, it won't matter what we do in the 2 o'clock hour because nobody will be listening.
Right by then. Hey, you know what? The 2 o'clock hour is going to be the best, though.
It is.
Because we have Point Pest Control coming in for X's and O's.
Yes, which is going to be a good one, especially because it's usually supposed to be based on the content we talked about this week.
Uh-huh. Oh, I know.
So I'm going to be a little bit at a disadvantage.
There are questions that I really hope Brad gets because they're going to be impossible for you. And there are other ones that I do hope you get just to see how much you were paying attention on Wednesday.
Doug says, Annie sounds a little like Punky Brewster. I guess if you know, you know.
Who doesn't know Punky Brewster?
Hey, Ethan.
Ethan.
Come here, Ethan. Oh, man. The YouTube live chat poll today, is the Sydney Sweeney jeans ad a campaign success? Is it? We can get a lot out of this conversation. Do you know who Punky Brewster is?
No.
He's really.
You don't know who Punky? You never heard of the name?
No.
What are you eating?
I was eating.
You're eating string cheese.
He's eating string cheese.
Just he's like, eating it the way that you should too.
Just like biting
just
it right.
Biting it right off.
String cheese is exactly what I would expect someone who doesn't know how or who Punky Brewster is.
Yeah,
what's
they're
that
little.
Supposed to mean?
You got a Lunchable out there.
I wish I did.
Putting together your little mini pizza.
I wish those things went so hard and.
Do you know what a push pop is?
Push pop. Those sound familiar.
I should know what that really? Is, right? Flintstone push pop.
I don't know.
Any push pop?
Time to do some research. They sound familiar. I don't know.
Have you ever eaten? Honest question. Have
I think
you ever
you're wearing
eaten
my headphones
a,
right now?
I might be.
He is.
Have you ever?
That's where they
he
went.
He doesn't have any.
I forgot mine. On a day like today, have you ever eaten one of those little pouches that's full of vegetables and fruit?
I have no idea what you're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, good. Because those are for kids.
You mean like? Are you talking about baby food?
They can be baby food, but they can be for kids, too. My kids still eat them sometimes
fruits
for veggies.
Fruits and vegetables combined?
Into one little pouch, yeah.
That sounds disgusting.
It is. That's why I don't eat them.
That's why you don't eat them?
I wonder
Ryan,
what
was the last time you touched a vegetable?
I wonder what the actual value, net value, of a Flintstone vitamin was.
Yeah, I don't know. It was mostly chalk.
A lot of that has to be dye, right? Yeah. I mean, is it possible that it was there was any net gain?
I don't know that there. I mean, it's possible there was some net gain, but I will say this: did anybody think, "Ooh, a vitamin"? Oh, wait, it's shaped like Fred Flintstone. I'm gonna love this now because that did not work on me.
I think I did.
Really? Like, oh wow, I'm eating Wilma. This is great. Before I thought this was going to be a terrible experience, but now it's a cartoon character, so it tastes better.
Dude, you were 7. You didn't think any of those thoughts. You thought it was candy, and you ate it.
No, I didn't, because it was bad candy.
I loved those gummies.
You had Flintstone vitamins?
No, they're not gummies.
Yes, they are.
No, they weren't gummies.
No, they weren't.
No, it was like eating colorful chalk.
Yes.
I thought, you've is there not Flintstone things. Gummies now, though, then, I guess?
We didn't grow up with gummies.
No, we did. We didn't. She's right.
We didn't have these fine things.
Fruit snacks were new in, like, 1989.
Were Scooby snacks the first fruit snacks?
Are Scooby
no.
snacks
no.
fruit snacks?
No, the first fruit snacks were just called fruit snacks.
It's terrible.
And they weren't shaped like anything. But
Gushers?
We still loved them, and it kind of pushed my point,
oh,
didn't
man.
It?
Gushers.
Gushers were great. They were
innovative.
Later, though.
Totally RFK Jr. approved. Listen.
I mean, there's a lot of personal stuff in the book. I mean, poor Dougie.
you're blowing the lid off
well,
of Doug? What's
you know,
going on?
For example, my birthday is in October. The election's in November. You see where I'm going. And Dougie kind of dropped the ball on my big birthday.
He didn't get you anything?
Oh, you have to read the book.
All right. Just tell me the page. Tell me the page.
Gosh, I told you nobody was going to be listening.
Even Stephen Colbert seemed annoyed by that.
Annie, like your voice right now sounds better than that.
Oh, thanks. That's why I played her. It's all relative.
You came on the show to tell us fun stories from the book, and then you tease that there might be a fun story in the book. Don't tell us and tell us by the book. There was nothing in that interview. There was literally nothing in that entire clip of a minute.
What's the point of Kamala Harris's research? I mean, yeah, she's trying to sell a book, but is she just trying to sell a book for a buck?
That's it. Yeah, she doesn't have anything to say. None of these interviews have produced anything other than those kinds of things, because that's all she did during the campaign. They tried really, really hard to give her substance, and she could not do it. And that's with a billion-dollar team around you, giving you everything you need, every friendly media outlet editing the interviews for you.
Yeah.
And you still can't come up with anything of substance. So it's no surprise now that she's coming back to just sell a book that she's got even less than she used to.
I listened to that clip and I'm like, that clip is a perfect example of why the Colbert show is going away. Why that whole thing is going away. Because like that is supposed to be the highlight. And then you listen to that and she's just bad politician. She's a bad politician. And then you have a bad show. And it's just like 20% of the population going, woo, in the background. It's awful.
Bigger on the Colbert show, though. What a sad, sorry thing to peek behind the curtain of. Kamala Harris on Stephen Colbert's show.
Oh, I know. I know. It's weird because when she comes out, I'm not sure that she could hurt her poll numbers because they're already rather low, but all of them are low. All the Democrats are low. So I really don't know exactly what she's trying to do other than just make a buck. Which, hey, go ahead.
We shall wait and see. Stick around. The YouTube poll finally up. Guys, I didn't put it up in time. I'm out of practice. Please hustle up and go tell us if you think the Sydney Sweeney jeans ad is a campaign success, yes or no. Annie for our YouTube channel. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic. I'm remembering right now. Wow, I'm wrong a lot. We don't like to say it. We don't like to admit it. We really don't like to correct it. But that is how you grow and you get to a better place. And it is such a precious commodity right now. I've been wrong. I've been wrong about political issues. I've been wrong about people. I've been wrong about myself. I've been wrong about my responsibilities. I've been wrong about my opinions, my tastes, my choices. I've been wrong. And that's okay. Hopefully you learn. Hopefully when you're wrong, you get to a better place if you do the work, unless you stubbornly hold on. And that's where so much of us are stuck. It's not just being wrong, it's refusing to learn what's right. I've been wrong. Have you been wrong? If you say no, you're wrong.
There's Chris Cuomo talking about, he says he's in traffic. Those trees are moving pretty fast behind him while he is driving in his vehicle, shooting that video. And as you can tell, I am back. I've been out for a couple of days. I have laryngitis. I am getting better, not all the way there. And I just thought, you know, we needed to fill some time here. So I thought I'd play Chris Cuomo and that video, and then we could just spend the rest of the show with Ryan telling us all the times he's been wrong. Ryan?
Yeah. I would like to start by saying that I was wrong about Chris Cuomo. I know he's somebody that...
You like him now.
You have said before you would like to have him on the show.
Yes. Yes.
And
yes.
Hopefully that's still possible.
Still working on
it. I'll tell you, though, I've been very skeptical of that guy. Because... to me, he looked like a guy who was on CNN and then said CNN things. And then he moved over to News Nation.
He was making money.
He's making money. And then he moves over. And then he's, you know, the brother of a Democrat politician in New York. And then the minute that stuff all kind of is in the rear view, oh, now he's going to change his opinion on things because he's going to be more moderate. But this video does change my mind on him a little bit.
You know what changed my mind on him first? The reason he got bounced from CNN... is because he supported his brother. Like, I don't think he did the right thing, but I do understand why he did it.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, and his brother's still a figure. I mean, his brother's still running for mayor of New York.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
He, on the other hand.
but Chris Cuomo, a video like this actually makes me respect him more. I'm not sure I'm completely all around on him, but if you can come out and publicly admit that you're wrong... about big things, which he kind of is here. He doesn't say anything specifically, but he mentions politics. You know what world he lives in. So coming out and saying, I was wrong, I think we all know the background that he's talking about.
You know, I think maybe even then when he's saying that I was wrong, he said, I've been wrong about a lot of things. You go back to his time at CNN, and maybe he's reflecting on that time there, saying I was wrong to go along with what the narrative was that they were pushing and just taking the paycheck. So I don't think it's just specifically politics. I think there is some internal perspective there too.
Here's the problem though. We're all just projecting what we hope he thinks he's wrong about.
That's a fact.
He might be saying, I was wrong to take this pathway to work today because I'm sitting in traffic now making this dumb video.
Well, yes. If you just watched that video, then yes. But then he did a whole show where he opened the phone lines on his show on News Nation.
Is that this video?
And said, okay, tell me what you were wrong about because I'm admitting that I've been wrong about everything.
I'm not too proud to say that I am wrong about Trump. I'm a proud Democrat, and he's done a lot of things. Immigration. I'm happy about what's happening with immigration. I thought the stock market would tank, and I'm pretty happy with my 401k. There's a few things that I just thought things would go wrong, and I'm very happy.
Well, that is big of you to say. It'll probably lose you some friends in this polarized environment that we're in right now. But there's nothing wrong with being happy with results, no matter who gives them to you, right? So I appreciate your candor. Next.
And you know what? A lot of calls saying the exact same thing. And the sad part is that she feels that she can't say it.
You know, when he says, when Cuomo says, you're going to lose some friends, what kind of jerk friends do you have that are going to be like, oh, you think different? You like somebody now that isn't actually really in your life? I can't be friends with you anymore? The amount of friends. Everybody says this. Everybody says this. The relationships you build after you come out of the closet for supporting President Trump, the people who, they're always like, the Trump rallies, it's like the friendliest place I've ever been. These people are so nice. I've been to multiple. And it's very true. People are happy there. I've seen this in videos and stuff that have been shot afterwards. Black people go to Trump rallies and they expect to be called terrible, terrible things and called out. And it's you know, it is what it is. But people are overly friendly. Like they see a black person at a Trump rally and everybody's like, hi. Hello.
Oh, hi.
What is your name?
Can I get you anything?
It's so nice to see you here. And I mean, the alternative of not paying attention to somebody, I mean, yes, if your skin color is different, but you've got black people who would, for social media purposes, who may not be, you know, raging lefties, but be very interested in understanding that the algorithm will enjoy watching a black person who's not like Trump, Trump, Trump go to a Trump rally. People want to see what that looks like. And then the people at the Trump rally are excessively friendly. I mean, you want to talk, they always go away from that going, I was really wrong about this. I don't always hear them saying like, now I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. But this perception that exists, and seriously, folks, it is not a stretch to say that it goes back to the story that is a top headline right now in the made-up bologna sausage faux hoax story concocted by Hillary Clinton with the help of George Soros and the Obama administration to slander Donald Trump as somebody who would completely partner with one of our enemies in Vladimir Putin in Russia in order to, guys, I can't even say this without just having a little bit of rage bubbling up. Hillary Clinton accused Donald Trump of partnering with the enemy to steal an election from the American people while she was partnering with our enemies to steal an election from the American people. That's the facts of the matter. I mean, that's absolutely what happened. And the most annoying thing about these stories that are coming up right now, you know, with the annex, the John Durham annex that we found in burn bags that somebody was certainly supposed to get away to get rid of. But that person was like, I really don't want to add that type of a crime to what I'm participating in here in destroying that evidence. it really is something to think about how much effort has been put into besmirching Donald Trump's name. And he's the president again and wins in 2024. And he's doing everything he said that he would do. We are 6 months into this campaign, I think 192 days or something like that, 193 days into his presidency. He's at a rapid fire pace doing the things that he said he would do. The people who crossed over were moderates, were probably not never Trumpers, but were certainly like, I am not voting for this Kamala Harris lady. She's crazy. And they knew that the Joe Biden way of things was not working. Okay, fine, I'll vote for him. Or I'm not voting for her. I'll just sit this one out. Those people are getting what they voted for. He's making good on the promises. And we're like two stones into the second term. And this is all in the face of everything that the Democrats, led by Hillary Clinton, people keep asking the question right now, who's the leader of the Democrat Party? I'd put it on Hillary Clinton. I'd say she's the leader of it. She's the last person who had the firm 10-2 grip on the party. And guess what? Ever since then, ever since Hillary Clinton, no Democrat has run for office on truth. Every Democrat that has run for office. And I mean, we could go back to Barack Obama. I haven't been able to dig that far. There's just so much content right here with the 2016 election and on. They have not trusted their policies, what they have to offer you. They have not listened to the American people to find out what it is that the American people are asking for. They have defined your problems. They have redefined reality. They've blurred every line that exists so that they have a room to play in. Their sandbox, they created it themselves, and they deceived the entire way. They were in a position to, behind the scenes, fabricate stories. They concocted like a Marvel character enemy. They tried to create some sort of bad guy. It's like we just watched this one. What's the Superman? Nope, wrong. Spider-Man with, what's his name? He's got a hard name to pronounce. Gyllenhaal. Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh,
the second Spider-Man.
Far From Home?
Yeah. Where, like, there's this boogeyman. But this boogeyman's a complete and total mirage. It's totally fake. And this guy's a weenie. He sucks. He's not even a good villain. You've got a Democrat Party from Hillary Clinton, before it got into the FBI, the party, the George Soros Open Society stuff, they all knew what was going on. They knew what they were funding. They knew the lie better than they knew the policies, because the policies don't matter. They weren't running to win. They were running to make Trump lose. And somehow he didn't. And they used that to lie about him the entire time through his first term. It culminated in 2020. Did they steal the election? I believe now more than ever that they stole the 2020 election, because I have no proof whatsoever that this Democrat Party is an honest broker. Barack Obama was a lead henchman in concocting the story behind Donald Trump. It's not that, you know, my naive brain might have one day been like, you know what, you can't, like, you need so many people to be involved to steal an election. So many people who wouldn't want to get their name dirty, get their hands dirty, would have to be involved in order to successfully pull that off. If Barack Obama was in it in 2015, 2016, who is left to protect? He's the top. You had the guy who was the president and the woman who knew she was going to be president. Happy birthday to this future president. Stupidest tweet in the history of tweets. Also, one of my favorites. If those two are involved in it, who wouldn't be? So I don't know, but you don't have the benefit of my trust anymore. I don't even know how you ever actually really did. It's more that I want it to be possible that this deep of corruption doesn't exist. I want it to be better than it is.
Yeah, you wanted it to be that, oh, maybe there was this little faction on the side that was willing to cheat or do things off record. And maybe the people at the top knew about it, but they were willing to kind of look the other way, but they weren't involved. No, now we know they were all involved. If you can convince the heads of all of your intelligence agencies, all of them, if you can convince the heads of all of them to be in on a fake, made up framing of another president, what aren't you capable of?
You've far, far, far out jumped the shark here. anything is possible. And it's not, this has been something that we knew but couldn't prove for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got proof. So I'm sitting here and I'm just thinking to myself, like, gosh, what else is possible? The 2020 election being stolen? That's like super possible now. It's like, I'm trying to think, like, is it even more likely?
Well, that's what I said last week when Tulsi was talking about this. She gave us ample evidence. And now we find out, oh, there's more, there's bags full. It's going to take us a while to go through it. At that time, I'm thinking, my gosh, if they've got them on this one thing and anybody's willing to start talking to get out of it, we could find out a myriad of other things.
Yeah. And we're going to.
I believe that.
Fire hose, like drinking from a fire hose. Stick around. We'll be right back. This is one of those songs that I have no idea what decade it came from.
I'm going to guess early 80s, maybe late 70s. I actually don't know who this is, though.
I feel like this is one of those songs. Somebody. This is one of those songs where it's like, it was 1992. And I was thinking it was 1972.
I don't know the answer. Somebody.
Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Maybe it was 1963.
Yeah, it might have been way earlier. Oh, what a night. December 1963?
Is the name of the song.
Is that possible?
It's the song. It's the name of the song.
Do you know who Frankie Valli is? The Four Seasons? It's what the play Jersey Boys is based off of.
I don't know. Anyway.
You ever heard of Jersey Boys?
It's really hard to find the year because 1963 is in the title of the song.
No, I can't believe that I know this and you guys don't. Like, this is so opposite of how it normally goes.
1975.
What is it that you know that we don't?
The
Jersey Boys thing?
Who it was?
Frankie Valli. We said that.
Ryan didn't. He said he didn't know who it was.
Well, Brad said it.
Okay. Because he read the title. Yeah, I put in. That. Thank you very much.
Hey, everybody, a round of applause for you.
Thank you. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted.
Great job.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You did great.
Mid-70s.
Mid-70s. So that's kind of your initial.
I was a little late.
You know, I know everybody is just dying to hear a little bit of somebody else's voice here. But I want to play this clip. Listen.
The document reportedly came to the attention of U.S. intelligence officials from Dutch intelligence. It included discussion of an email exchange between former DNC chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Leonard Bernardo, an official with Open Society Foundations run by George Soros. According to the Times, Wasserman Schultz allegedly told Bernardo that then Attorney General Loretta Lynch would not charge Clinton with a crime for having the private email server. Wasserman Schultz and Bernardo have both denied even being in contact with each other, suggesting the document was a fake attempt by the Russians to throw a wrench into the U.S. intelligence community. A spokeswoman for Bernardo sent me a statement today. I want to read part of it. Quote, Bernardo has never spoken with or corresponded with Congresswoman Wasserman Schultz in any fashion. The email mentioned is fictitious disinformation.
Fictitious disinformation. The email mentioned didn't even happen. Every day since Tulsi Gabbard, I guess it was two Fridays ago, maybe?
Yeah.
Tulsi Gabbard came out with this information. More names and more. Like, this little circle gets a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger with documentation that includes people's names in them. Now they're saying this isn't even a real email. Okay, well, I guess there's a way to prove that.
And the lines between these individuals get a little bit thicker, a little bit darker. You can connect they're not dots anymore. They're direct lines. It's really pretty amazing. It's almost as if they're doing this on purpose, bringing it out slowly like this so that we continue to see it, continue to talk about it, and continue to see how strong of a case it is. We're doing B or not the B in the next segment. And one of them I skipped just because I'm like, gosh, that's just too rich of a topic. But this is from the Babylon Bee. Investigation concludes Trump is the only one who didn't collude with Russia. Because that's what it's starting to look like.
Yeah.
I listened to John Solomon talk about this topic yesterday and today. And he's a great journalist because he just gives you the facts. He gives you everything. And this one's kind of hard to follow. So listening to him talk about it was really good because he was able to kind of weave it all together. But one of the things that he said that I had not heard yet was that it's not clear whether the FBI and the Clinton campaign at the time were working directly with Russia, but they definitely knew what each other had because they would come out with information in the United States at the same time as Russia would release the same information in Russia. And sometimes, and here was the key that he said was like, okay, that's impossible, is Russia would come out with the information just slightly ahead of our FBI and the Clinton campaign, so that they had it before we had it, but it really was all coming out together. We just never saw the Russian side of it. We saw the American side of it. That looks, I mean, it looks like cold, hard collusion.
I don't need to see people go to jail, because there is so much progress that can be made in exposure of all of these slimy, smarmy, power hungry, hypocritical, in my opinion, treasonous losers who couldn't win an election with what they brought to the table. They had to go kick the legs out of the table of their opponent. Maybe there will be people who go to jail. But the ones that we want to see that happen to, I don't know that that's going to happen. But it is still a completely worthy cause to expose every centimeter of the efforts that were made by every power broker in the Democrat Party for the last 15 to 20 years. They all participated in this willingly. They all contrived this lie. Gosh, what was so scary about Donald Trump? Like, you'd think with the way people think about him right now that he would be damaging enough to himself that people wouldn't like him. And in many cases, I think they got him elected. I'm trying to think of the last time, even with Barack Obama. I mean, he had ideas, but they were more like untangible concepts that made you feel a certain type of way. They gave you hope. You thought, gosh, I think things could change. And when I think about Donald Trump's first term, up until COVID, you're like, don't change anything. Keep it right where it is. This is the way we want it to be. COVID sets in. And again, now that we see what people in powerful places, what they've really been doing, like the evidence, the real story of exactly how what we've always known here took place, the evidence of the inner workings of how it took place, I'm really sitting here thinking, like, I'd like to know more about the timing of COVID. I want to know. I'm all on Rand Paul trying to sue Fauci or charge, you know, whatever the process is of calling Fauci on his funding of gain of function research. And then Fauci says, you can't do that. I have a pardon. And they're like, I'm glad you said that. I'd like to challenge your pardon, Mr. Otto Penn. Like, that's all a process. What happened? I mean, all of these stories are so many huge stories.
Yeah, speaking of another scandal right there.
All I can think about is all of the movies that are going to be made in the future about this. What are those? How are those movies going to end? Because we're like watching them right now.
They're going to all look like AI, because I know the technology's headed there. Nobody's going to be in them. Just be,
who wants to play Joe Biden?
Fake people.
All right, the YouTube live chat poll for today. Is the Sydney Sweeney jeans ad campaign a success?
My body's composition is determined by my genes.
Those are not your jeans. Those are your boobs.
Eyes up here.
Yeah.
Sydney Sweeney has very keens.
Okay. I have the very best mock Sydney Sweeney ad to show you guys next. You're going to hear it. And it's Randy Quaid. So you want to keep it right here. You got to hear how he explains his great genes. Randy Quaid, of course, in the words of my generation, up yours. And then he saves the planet. And everybody gets to enjoy Independence Day. I'm a pilot. I can fly. We're going to do that next. Plus, the bee or not the bee. Don't go away. She'd be sweet, so.
My genetics started in an Oklahoma, Texas dust bowl. And my genes scream white male. Live with it. Or don't. I don't care.
Can you describe, Ryan,
Okay.
It's the best Sydney Sweeney ad there is.
First of all, that's the best that guy's looked in years.
He doesn't look bad.
Yeah, he actually looks pretty presentable. He is laying, however, on a bed in probably a hotel wearing some pretty nice jeans, decent button-up shirt.
He's 74 years old, folks.
Is he 74?
Belly popping out a little bit.
Belly is popping
it's
out.
It's not a big belly, though. It's a respectable 74-year-old so, yeah. belly.
Moderate belly.
Respectable, certainly, for a superstar.
Randy Quaid has not been known as a sex symbol.
Ever.
Speak for yourself.
I would say this is the closest he's ever been.
I will say he's never been a sex symbol for me, Ethan, if I need to narrow that comment down. Ethan?
Ethan, go ahead.
Look at him.
My genetics started in an Oklahoma, Texas dust bowl.
Now speak for yourself.
I decline the comment.
Oh, Wiggins! The bee or not the bee.
All right, these are stories that come either from the Babylon Bee, which would make them fake news, or they are real headlines. You have
or
to tell
just
me.
A little early.
Yeah, which is which? First one, Trump secures 15% tariff on extra U in British spelling.
Oh. A little early.
It is a little early.
Like,
it is the bee.
Glamour.
Exactly.
Glamour.
I guess you could say this is my favorite trade deal, Trump said, explicitly using the British form of favorite. And England's shown a lot of honour. A lot of honour. Colour me impressed.
I would love to hear Trump put the emphasis on the extra U.
Trying to do that? We're going to make our English the greatest English, Trump explained. We're going to have people talking American like you wouldn't believe.
Talking American.
Talking American.
He should change the language we speak to American.
Yes, he should. Guy groping women at Comic-Con swears he was just cosplaying as Pedro Pascal.
Oh, no.
Oh.
That better be B.
Yeah. I'm going to say real.
I need this to be the Babylon Bee, so I'm going B.
Why do you need it?
Because I don't want this to be a true story.
Why?
Because that scares me.
Why? Pedro Pascal is already groping people. That part is already happening.
That scares me as well, but some guy just doing it and using that as cover.
Are you worried when
dude.
You go to your next, what kind of festival?
Comic-Con.
Don't go to Pittsburgh, Brad.
Deal.
I got to be honest. I just thought the whole thing was furries. This is Comic-Con. Is Comic-Con different than furries?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
Technically not the same.
I'm sure
but
furries show up at a Comic-Con, but it's not for them.
Brad?
What's that? Is it different? Yes, it's different.
Have you ever gone to a Comic-Con?
No.
It's all cosplay, isn't it?
Not necessarily.
Some people just go because they like
the There's guys
stuff.
There that look like the comic book guy from The Simpsons with the bald head and the ponytail.
Is there any difference, really?
No.
So, wait, hold on. I didn't finish my question.
Sorry.
Is there any difference between going to a Comic-Con and going to like a sports convention where there are athletes and cards are being sold and you can like meet and they're signing events? It's the same thing, different details, mm-hmm. isn't it?
No. Yes. No, because they're not the same thing.
Why?
Because I don't think people are doing cosplay and lots of makeup when
you don't
they go
think
to sports
people
cards
are, you
conventions.
You don't think Steelers fans are coming there in full on black and yellow?
I don't think so. I mean, you might have a few, but it's not the main thing.
I bet you jerseys abound at one of those signing events.
Is that cosplay?
It's the same thing.
Just a shirt.
Oh my God.
I mean,
give
really?
Give me a break,
I'm with
Brad.
You, Ethan.
It's the same thing.
Man
I'm
said
with you.
Match gasoline.
These guys right here just realize that they're cosplayers just for sports, though.
This is a clown comment. I'm
disappointed
sports, in you.
Sports
You're better
cosplay.
Than that.
You think somebody walks in wearing a shirt that says Batman on it, and they're like, oh, that guy's cosplaying.
A shirt that says Batman? No.
That's just a jersey.
But a shirt that has the name Pujols on the back of it with a hat.
Is it cosplayer?
Yeah, same thing.
You're not pretending to be Pujols.
Maybe
you're not
How do you know?
Because I think I could walk up to that guy and be like, are you Pujols?
Yeah, but if you
like,
walked up to a
no.
dude at Comic-Con dressed like Boba Fett, are you Boba Fett? He's not going to say,
yes,
yeah,
he will.
I'm actually that.
Yes, he will.
No, he's going to be
wait, time out.
He'll talk to you in
time
character.
Out. Is there any difference because Albert Pujols is a real person doing a real thing and Boba Fett is a fantasy character?
Yes.
Does that
it's
make it?
It's very real.
Well, time out. Little kids
time
dress
out
up.
Time out on the field?
Yeah. Little kids dress up as their heroes, correct?
I'm not following you down this road.
Yeah, because you know I'm right. Little kids dress up as their heroes, and it doesn't matter if they dress up as a Power Ranger or their favorite baseball player. That's what they dress up as.
Why? One of those is achievable.
One of them is achievable, but when you're a little kid, your imagination runs wild, so you think that maybe you could actually be Batman or a Power Ranger.
Yeah, but so, I mean, you can't. It's not possible.
So, Ethan?
Yeah. Does the Batman shirt have a logo, or does it say the word Batman?
Or is he wearing a full Batman? Does he have like a Batman?
Now, if you have a bat suit on, you're cosplaying as Batman. If you're wearing a shirt that says Batman.
Just Batman with a period.
Or has a logo on it.
So,
I can make that shirt.
Listen, if you are wearing a jersey, then you are cosplaying as a baseball player. But if you're wearing a shirt that says St. Louis Cardinals on it, then you're not.
If I were to ever agree with you, I would say that the people going to baseball card shows and stuff are the worst cosplayers I've ever seen.
Oh, probably.
Them.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they're not trying to look exactly like their hero.
Yeah, and they don't have the same mindset.
They just bought some merch.
It's the same
concept. Okay, last question here. Who would get ridiculed more? Somebody who is in like full fan sports regalia that shows up accidentally at a Comic-Con, or the full-fledged Comic-Conner showing up to...
I'll take door number two.
What about a Raiders fan?
Are we just making fun of them because they're Raiders fans? Gear. What's the difference?
You guys know about their team to suck.
You guys know about the Raiders fans. They
it's a paper
like
bag.
The Legion of Doom, and they have the spiky
yes.
things. And
yeah, those people,
the Rams fans that wore shows. The bags over their heads. There's no difference. It's cosplay.
You walk in, it's like 50%
of the
people at a Comic-Con.
There's a dude at the Battlehawks games who dresses like a Battlehawk.
Battlehawks.
Yeah, there's one
enter
guy.
The chat.
There's one guy at the whole game, and that's the
all
game.
35,000 people.
I saw a guy at the Battlehawks game dressed like Stan Kroenke.
That's different. They're at the game. I'm talking about
they
a
would
fan
do it. They would do it at the fan event as well.
You think the Battlehawks fans that are super Battlehawks fans are going to sporting cards?
I don't know that they have those for Battlehawks, but yeah, I think they would. And I think that the same thing with the football players.
Well done, Brett. Hey, you know what? Good job. Good rage bait. You did a great job.
Uh-huh.
Excellent.
Yeah, this needs to be a video.
But you didn't get me.
Get people worked up.
Oh, you got mad.
I was more focused on the Batman shirt.
I kind of want a Batman shirt that says Batman.
Can we get those? Think she can make matching ones for us?
I think so.
This is the B. I don't even remember.
This is a story. Yes, this is the bee. It's not real.
Aww.
The suspect identified as 29-year-old Brian Grant said he was dressed as Pedro Pascal and only trying to get into character. Quote, I just don't think I'd be able to accurately pull off the Pedro Pascal character if I wasn't out there getting handsy with the ladies.
Gosh.
At publishing time, Grant had avoided being kicked out of the convention by explaining to security guards that he just had social anxiety.
One more real quick.
PETA sues Maine Lobster Festival for killing lobsters.
That's got to be real.
Yep, it's real.
Would it be better if we didn't kill him?
I'm not sure. There's a festival if you don't have it. No one can be certain what PETA expects the Maine Lobster Festival to do if they don't, you know, serve lobsters for people to eat. But then again, nobody ever accused PETA of operating according to any sound logic.
That's a fair point.
The Independent has more on the seemingly absurd lawsuit. PETA argues in the suit that the festival...
one of us has to be able to talk.
I know, I'm not doing very well. ...is one of the most egregious violations of Maine's animal protection statutes occurring anywhere on public land in the state.
Well, we got through 1 hour. If you guys want me to stop talking, because I'm afraid my voice is...
You sound better now than you did at the beginning.
Well, I wondered. I didn't know how it was going to go. If you want me to stop talking, you got to get on the Annie Fry YouTube chat and say, Annie, maybe you should just listen the rest of the show. Let us know. Go vote in the YouTube poll. We'll be right back.